Fine.
One second, let me see if I can get the my headphones to work. For some reason, it's not picking up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a likely story. What the hell is that?
I don't know. I thought that was you.
That's not me.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
What is that?
And it says my headphones are active.
It sounds like cheering.
That's exactly what it sounds like. That was really weird.
I hope it doesn't happen again. That was weird.
What the hell?
What? What the fuck is that?
Sometimes Cindy Lauper just jumps on my freaking iPod.
Are you serious? Are you on your iPod now?
Or
your iPad?
Sense.
So it's your... You turn it off.
I don't even know what to do about it. It's not
what
like
are you talking about? It's your fucking device.
I can't do anything. Hold on one second.
What?
I think I have a virus. I think I have an iPad virus. Hold on, hold on.
Ridiculous.
I think it must be a virus, man.
I have come across some weird shit.
Cindy Lauper
podcasts,
iPad virus.
But this is the very first time I've ever come across something like this.
So stupid. Let me try to. I'm gonna contact you and use my phone for Skype. This is ridiculous.
Hey. Hey. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly.
Oh my god.
Now that we've gotten rid of the Cindy Lauper virus.
I that's the only thing that I can think of it that it might be.
Why would Cindy Lauper start playing on your fucking computer on your iPad?
Like, I don't know. That would be like a douchey thing for some virus writer to do. You know, like,
do you even have that song on your iPad?
No, of course not. Why the hell would I?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
girls just want to have fun on my iPad.
I have no idea. All right, let's fucking start this thing. Okay, so this is Part-Time Fanboy, and I am Christian Horn. And I am here with my old pal, Barry Brewer, who is, like me, a fan of the television show 24. And
dude, rabid fan of 24.
I think you are much more a rabid fan of 24 than I am, to tell you the honest truth. But the whole reason that I have you on the show is because, you know, part of the biggest reason that I started recording this podcast in the beginning was because I would talk about nerd and film and shit like that with my friends, and I would be like, I should be recording this stuff because these would make, like, awesome podcasts. And we were talking about 24, like, 2 weeks ago or something. 24, Live Another Day.
Live another day.
And it was hysterical how ridiculous the conversation got. So I was like, I got to have my good friend Barry Brewer on the Part-Time Fanboy podcast just to talk smack about Jack Bauer at 24, Live Another Day.
Jack Bauer's the man.
Jack Bauer is a fucking sociopath, especially after watching this season. So
he just does what has to be done.
Yeah, right. He shoots civilians in the leg for no apparent reason except to cause, like, chaos.
That's it. He had to cause a distraction because he had to infiltrate the presidential retreat in England.
It's ridiculous. So, okay, so as we speak, we just watched the episode that aired on June 30th, 2014, you know, timestamp, and that's day 9 of 24, Live Another Day. And that's from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m.
So
I guess what I wanted to ask you, in all seriousness, is, has this show always been this fucking stupid?
It may have been.
It really?
But I don't think so. I know. I don't think so. I think the show earlier had a lot of foresight and it had foresight politically, and it had foresight a little bit socially. But it's, you know, it's a little bit out of control right now.
Well,
because it carried on for so long.
Yeah, well, but it had a long break, dude. Like, how long has it been since season 8 and, you know, this? See, it's been like something like 4 years, man.
I think it's been 4 years.
It's been four years. Can you believe that?
I know.
I cannot believe that it's been 4 years since season 8 of 24. And, you know, to be fair, that show was really going down the toilet, like, when it went off the air. I mean, I think season 7, maybe season 8 was like absolutely just bonkers crazy.
The second that they introduced Audrey into the whole thing was the beginning of the end.
Wait, which one was Audrey again? Because you're going to have to remind me.
Audrey, I don't know the actress's name.
Is she the wife of the chief of staff?
Chief of staff, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's when you really got into I mean, it was always a little bit soap opera-y. But
right.
That's when you really got into the soap opera bullshit.
Oh, she's terrible. She's very...
Her name is Kim Raver.
Kim Raver. She's very annoying.
She's terrible. Yeah, her character is absolutely... She's like one of these kind of like... Well, okay, let's go back because we're like totally getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay,
So for anyone who doesn't watch 24... For like the five people out there who have never seen 24, basically the conceit of the show originally was that it was going to be 24 episodes, and each episode was an hour of the day in which a terrorist plot was happening, and it was this character Jack Bauer's job, who was a member of CTU, the counterterrorism unit. You know, some nebulous organization within the government, American government, to stop whatever terrorist plot was happening. That's like the basics of the show, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. And so, essentially, you would basically follow this one character, and, you know, there's also, you know, ancillary characters, supporting characters, through the paces of trying to stop a terrorist attack against the United States of America. And, you know, I mean, it was a great show. I mean, I think, did you watch it from the very beginning? Like from when it first premiered?
It was an outstanding show. And I've watched all seasons at least 3 times.
What? How do you have time for that? That's insane.
It's the ultimate binge watching show because the show really mastered the cliffhanger, especially the first 4 or 5 seasons. It's like you finish watching an episode and it's almost too painful to wait to watch another episode. You just have to continue watching.
That's true. I mean, that was the brilliance of the show because it was sort of like a big 24-hour movie. Like,
yeah.
You know, you were kind of like stuck in a timeline where it was like, I want to keep watching. It would be like watching whatever action or science fiction movie, you know, you were watching and then having to stop like every half an hour. You know what
yep.
I mean? So they did do a really good job of that. And I think you're right. Do you realize that the first episode premiered November 6th, 2001, like right after September 11th?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And I remember that the first episode, they almost like canned it because of September 11th. They almost decided not to air it.
I didn't realize that. And that's why I think that the show had incredible foresight. It's not only was that season obviously in the can before September 11th happened.
Yeah, you're right.
And, then
or much of it. I would
have to figure all of it. It's because if it premiered on November 6, 2011, I think they probably would have wrapped shooting somewhere in the summertime.
I think you would be probably running. They would have probably been like something like 8 or 10 episodes maybe ahead. You know what I'm saying? I would assume that with a show like this, it probably got like a full order, like a full 24 episodes. I could be wrong. I mean, why would you greenlight a show called 24 and then only greenlight 13 episodes, you know? But I would assume that there was still a ways to go. But still, they would have been into their season. You know, they would have been probably a decent chunk into their season by that point, you know?
Absolutely. And a huge amount, if not the entire season, would have been written.
Yeah.
And one of the things, one of the most significant things is that it really foresaw the first black president of the United States also.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of that, you know, even Obama said, like, that I think that he's even given that show kind of credit for, you know, planting that idea in people's heads.
Yep.
What was the president's name again?
David Palmer.
David Palmer. That's right. Yeah. Brilliant actor who played David Palmer, too. Gosh. What was his name? I'm blanking out, but he's done tons of stuff. Oh, here we go. Dennis Haysbert. Well, I want to
vote for him. For
I know, right? It's kind of like, I actually honestly think that when a lot of people were voting for Obama, they were hoping that they would have a badass like Dennis Haysbert, like in the Oval Office, because he was badass. But in the first season, he wasn't president yet, was he? He was just senator.
That's right.
And then
that's
he wins the election in the second season or towards the end of the show. I can't quite remember.
That's right. It would have been the second season because was it in the first season that they tried that the assassination attempt took place on him, or was that later on in another season? It's been so long.
Well, I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, and there was definitely an assassination plot.
And I believe that was the first season, which was the catalyst for him to move on into and carried it into the second season.
Yeah,
and it established a much deeper layer of conspiracy also that's going on, which has been a very important part of the show, the different layers of conspiracy in ways that the government institutions are compromised.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, I would say, you know, obviously 24 has always kind of like taken place a little bit in the future. I don't think they've ever established what year that the events are happening in, you know what I mean? And, you know, just the basic concept of a black president in the United States at the time, people were like, get out of here. But at the same time, it also showed that people were kind of ready for it. You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't they didn't just look at it as like, that's ridiculous. I think a lot of people like me who were watching the show were like, this is a good idea. Like they, you know, they could have cast a woman, they could have cast anything, and they kind of went with something like way outside of the box. Obviously saying to the viewer, like, this is down the road, this is not happening now. At least that's the way I always understood it. And just, you know, how freaking crazy. I mean, obviously it is a hardcore fantasy, like, action series, but how crazy, like, the layers within the government, especially at the time, and probably even now because the giant bureaucracy has gotten even larger, but, you know, we're always sort of, like, not cooperating with each other, not, you know, kind of, like, undercutting each other. Kind of like not sharing information at all, that sort of thing. So with that, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, it was really it definitely showed us, you know, in an extreme fantasy world, like how things could probably operate at that deep, you know, sort of conspiracy theory level, you know, within the government.
You bring up a really interesting point where, you know, first the show really does occur in the future, but they actually bring the show up to date because, as you pointed out, the show didn't actually, the show actually began to air in November of 2001.
Yeah.
At which point there was no Homeland Security.
Huh.
Homeland Security was actually founded under G.W. Bush in response to 9/11. And later in maybe episode 3 or 4 is when Homeland actually makes its first appearance at CTU and really exercises its power and absolutely takes over control of CTU.
Episode two or season two?
Season three or four.
Yeah. I mean, they were definitely playing a little bit of catch up there with Homeland. But that's the thing, is they also didn't say that there wasn't a Homeland Security in those first couple of seasons. I don't think that they actually referenced, you know, the larger bureaucracy in any other way, except for the fact that he worked for CTU. You know what I mean? Right. So you could look at it as the writers kind of introducing that Homeland Security element, you know, later on, you know, kind of playing catch up and probably being like, oh crap, we like never really addressed like the infrastructure, because, you know, as far as I know, or from what I understand, CTU is a fictional agency, you know,
right.
It doesn't actually exist, right? Or is there something called the Counterterrorism Unit? I don't know.
I think that there are subsections within the FBI and then CIA that are dedicated almost exclusively toward counterterrorism activities, but I don't think that there's actually an agency solely used to fight terrorism.
Yeah, well, the Counterterrorist Unit, when I typed it in Google, the only thing that really comes up is the wiki for 24. So I think that particular CTU was definitely created for, you know, with that specific name, was created for the show. Wasn't like a real thing.
You really blew my mind just by bringing up the fact that it first aired November 6th, 2001.
Yeah.
Two months after 9/11, where terrorism in America really was something that happened mostly overseas, something that happened in Israel or, you know, in other Middle East countries. It wasn't really something that we thought about as occurring within our borders. And it wasn't until 2001 where terrorism became a real threat and a splinter in our sort of consciousness. And then from that point on, remember all the orange alert? There was another orange alert. It seemed like every other 2 weeks that there was another threat that was coming on the radar. And the whole culture of fear, and everybody was all talking about that the government is just simply trying to stir up fear and anxiety within the population and trying to really drive us into a constant state of panic, so that way we supported, you know, the war effort. But terrorism up until 9/11 was sort of like a foreign thing, and even domestic stuff was terrorist activity was pretty much written off, you know, like Oklahoma City bombing.
Wasn't really
talked about in the same way that you know, suicide bombers on buses in Israel are talked about, or different terrorist activities overseas,
You know what's interesting? I'm looking through the summary for season one, and it seems like it doesn't even have to do. I mean, I'm quickly scanning it because obviously I can't read while I'm recording a podcast, and I should have done my homework a little more. But at least in season one, it looks like the events that set things into motion have to do with Kosovo, you know, and you know, the former Yugoslavia and Slobodan Milosevic and all that stuff. So it's not even like a Middle Eastern thing. It's a European sort of backlash, you know, that occurred in that first season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. the assassin who tried to kill President Palmer was, I believe, an Eastern European woman.
There was a lot of
Eastern European influence at that time.
Yeah, yeah. Was this the pretty brunette who, like, jumped out of the airplane or something like that? Yeah, yeah. They used to call her Naked Mandy on the internet because she got, like, on, like, a lot of forums because I think she, like, stripped down in the plane or something and then, you know, jumped out. And a lot of people were like, oh, she's so hot. Yeah, I specifically remember that. Yeah, and she didn't even have that big a part in the show. But, like, spoilers for anyone who hasn't watched the show, you might as well get off now. But, like, the biggest thing about season one was the ending, right?
Right.
Where, what does Jack Bauer do? You tell him.
The end of season one?
Yeah. He fucking kills his wife, doesn't he?
No, Jack doesn't kill his wife.
Doesn't he?
No. Nina kills Jack's wife.
Oh, Nina kills Jack's wife. I totally forgot. Yeah, that's right.
But Jack in season
one.
You
watched him three times.
Jack in season one killed the head of CTU.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Shot him in the head. Put him on his knees.
And blew
his brains out. Keep in mind, all of this decision making all comes down in less than 24 hours. So Jack has been presented with a problem, and within hours, he is the head of his agency on his knees in a train yard, begging for his life. Meanwhile, Jack is like, nope, got to do it. And blows his head off.
I don't think that was season one, dude. That was like season two or three, wasn't it? Are you sure that was season one?
Maybe you're right. Maybe that was season two or three.
I don't think that was, because I specifically remember you and I talking on the phone, like being like, that was crazy. Like, did you watch that? Like, yeah. Yeah, no, I think that was like season two or three. Like, wasn't that the one where, now we're all going to get, like, all convoluted, but there was a season with, like, the nuclear bomb, and season two. That's the one with the nuclear bomb, and he's flying, like, with the head of CTU.
Season two, oh.
And they drop the bomb over the desert. And then he fucking, right? Then I think that's the season where he's forced to, it's either two or three, man, I can't, it's all blending in. He's forced to shoot the head of CTU, isn't he? Like, isn't it some kind of, like, terrorist thing?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't do it because he wants to.
No. That's the great thing about the show. That's one of the bits of writing that's just outstanding. Jack is always forced to choose between the lesser of two horrible evils. He always has to make the decision of choosing the best of two impossible decisions. And it's not even clear at the time that his decision making is correct. And it's always counter to any sort of standard ethics or moral structure.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking it up. Okay, so George Mason was the head of CTU in season two, and he basically has the nuke in the plane, and Jack Bauer, like, parachutes out. So that's not the season where he has to kill his boss. There's another season where Jack Bauer...
He kills the guy's name is... The head of CTU at that time, his name was Ryan something. Ryan, I believe.
Ryan Chappelle. Yeah. So basically, in season three, Jack Bauer shoots the head of CTU in the head, but not because he wants to. It's like somebody's like
no, not because
him.
He wants to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, that's hysterical. Oh my god. No, I just remember that was like, and that's the thing about this show is like that it goes to like those crazy extremes. Which what makes it so fun that it tiptoes on the edge of ridiculousness. You know what I'm saying? Because like that moment could have been like really badly handled, and somehow they pulled it off.
Yeah, they did. They pulled it off.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of the thing that like ends up working out. Hold on, I'm looking up Ryan Chappelle right now. I want to see how this dude died. Because we could, anybody who's listening to 24 could, or knows 24 more than we do, would be like, you guys know what the hell you're talking about. But anyway, yeah, I mean, that's...
It was definitely, Ryan Chappelle died on his knees with a gun to the back of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is definitely, like, one of the big reasons I've always loved the show. You know, I mean, yep. Up until, like, sort of, like, season 7, more season 8, the final season, where it just started kind of meandering all over the place, and the threats were kind of like sort of repeating themselves. You know what I mean? It's like, I think that's part of what happened was in season 2, they introduced a nuke, right? And the nuke was gonna detonate in Los Angeles. That's the other thing, too, is that it always took place in L.A. for the longest time, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and so season 2 they introduced a nuke, and then after the nuke, it's like, what else have you got? Like, what's bigger than a nuke? You know what I mean? You can't really like top that, right? So I mean, so every season after that was kind of like trying to find like stuff that was scary, just as scary or just as crazy as like bombing a nuclear city, which is kind of like hard to do, right?
Right.
So
yeah, and. You know, something that is never addressed, and I have to address it, is the fact that the country always never seems to reach a point of, you know, civil unrest. At one point, it kind of reaches that point, but everybody seems to calm down really quickly. But, you know, the fact is, you know, a nuclear weapon did get detonated in America.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah, yeah.
Not in a populated area.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah.
And then another, was it season 5 in which Edgar Stiles was able to stop the entire nuclear energy grid from having a meltdown? But there was one nuclear power plant that did melt down in California. And Edgar Stiles' mom died of radiation exposure. And,
wow, good memory.
Everybody seems to kind of, you know, roll forward and, you know, shrug it off. The fact that somebody infiltrated the entire nuclear power network, put the entire country at risk. And there's never been reference to financial collapse or any sort of influence on the markets. Can you imagine what would happen to the markets if any of this type of thing ever happened? The Dow would go to zero.
But here's the thing, is that's the genius of the show, because like it only takes place in one day. You don't really see like what happened before. You don't really see what happened after. And, you know, generally speaking, like
But the seasons are connected.
They are, like, if you look, they're set like 18 months apart or 20 months apart, you know?
I think that's nothing. Because we're still concerned about 9/11 2001 today, and it's 7/1 2014. And the repercussions of 2001, 9/11, it continues to this day with our war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the fact that if one of these incidents in 24 occurred, the repercussions would continue on and on and on. If a nuclear weapon were ever to be detonated in the United States, shit would go down.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, for me to say like no to that is completely nonsensical, you know. But I mean, that's the thing, is like, you know, and this could bring us to 24, Live Another Day, right? Which is like, which is like, quite honestly, except for last night's episode, last night's episode was kind of like the first time I felt Like, I was like, okay, like, we're kind of getting somewhere. I'm starting to feel like it's the old 24. But up until then, man, I thought this show was like, I mean, I was excited. You know, I was like, wow, 24 is coming back. And like,
24!
And that's the thing. It's like, how ridiculous is it for two liberals like us to like to like this show? Because, I mean, it basically features a character who has no respect for any kind of like civil rights or like you know chain of authority like whatsoever. Like, basically just does whatever the fuck he wants to, you know, damn this. I mean, he's basically like Amnesty International's like worst nightmare. He's ridiculous, you know.
He is ridiculous.
And you know, so it's basically like, once you get to like, I mean, yeah, whatever. It must play to some. It must play to some kind of like inner caveman in us, where we're just like, I mean, look, I don't want to see anybody. You know, I'm anti-torture. I'm all that. But it's like, when you see a bad guy on a TV show who's an asshole, there must be something primal that just gets released, and you're just like, fucking get him, get that motherfucker. You know what I mean? You're just like, you know.
Do whatever you gotta do.
Yeah.
Whatever you gotta do, Jack.
And that's what he does. He's insane. I think that by this point, so by the end of season 8, like,
But tell me you're not convinced that, but still, somehow Jack is still a deeply moral human being.
I mean, that's kind of like saying, like, deeply moral, like, to what, though? I mean, you would know the terms more than I do. You're the one with the degree in psychology. Like, I think, like, deeply moral, like, in my moral universe? No. He's not deeply moral. Like,
he understands what needs to be done in order to serve the greater good.
What greater good, though? Like, but what greater good? Like, no, I don't, like, that's
American
the thing.
Interest.
American interest. Bullshit. Like, no, that's the thing. It's like, there's a part of me that's like, it's his morality. He serves no greater cause except for, like, what he thinks is right, right? Like, he doesn't
listen
to the president. He doesn't listen to the president, the commander-in-chief.
The president's not there. He doesn't know what needs to be done.
Jack. Oh, God. Give me a break. Jack Bauer
Jack knows what needs to be done.
So Jack Bauer knows what needs to be done for, like, my family, for your family.
Yeah.
He's basically an unelected sociopath or psychopath that has been given the authority to do whatever the hell he needs to do in order to stop the world from, like, what? Blowing up into nuclear flame.
That's it. That's what America
needs.
He's
basically like Dick Cheney's wet dream, is basically what he is.
He really is.
And we love the show that he's on. What does that say about us?
Exactly. It's that we recognize that we need men like Jack Bauer.
Oh my God! I don't think so. I mean, look. Obviously,
the man who can make the tough decisions when the time comes.
Time comes. Well, but that's, you know, okay, like, I'm not going to disparage, like, soldiers in the field or people who work at the CIA or FBI or whatever. Yeah, there's people that have to make those decisions. But, you know, there's got to be some fucking boundaries, man. And Jack Bauer has no boundaries. He doesn't stop. He's like a mad dog, you know, which is why I find it kind of like an interesting show in a way, and have always like, and that's the thing. It's like, he's gotten worse as the show has gone on. It's not like he's mellowed out at all. It's not like he's like listened to people and been like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have smashed that guy's hand in the door. Maybe I should have thought about that. Like, maybe there was another way. Like, no, he's basically, he is the right, like wet dream. He is like 24 is like the rights like terrorist wet fantasy, the way it exists in their fucking crazy universe where it's like, okay, a terrorist thing happened and there's no time. We have to do something about it right now. So we gotta torture this motherfucker because we need to get the answers right now. And torture works. It completely works. There's nothing except torture that works. You know, so it's like, I'm a smart guy. I know going into this that this is a ridiculous, like, over-the-top fantasy. But you know that there's people out there. And there was some concern when the show was on that there were people in the military who watched 24 and were like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Like he's showing me how. Like, this is, like, because he's getting results means I'll get results. You know, that's right. Demented. That's demented. That's like watching a fucking a Steven Seagal film and being like, that's how you take care of neighborhood problems. When the fucking gang dealers come in, you just go out and you fucking give them the hook martial arts move and you kick some ass. Like, that's insanity. That's not how a civilized society works. That's Iraq right now.
I think it was last episode of Live Another Day. Not yesterday's, not on June 30th, but the previous week, where Jack had the suspect's daughter in the hospital. Her name is escaping me right now. Yeah. And he needed to get information from her. And
he threatens the doctor.
He threatened the doctor. But then he actually started to, like, attack her broken hand or her wrist or something
like that.
Yeah. And it was just completely unnecessary.
Yeah, especially when there's stuff like truth serum or whatever.
The other character, Kate, asked him, you know, like, was that necessary? And he was like, no.
Yeah, I know. Which shows you that he's completely
I think he said, I don't know why I did that or something like
that. You're fucking crazy, that's why.
You've gone over the deep end.
Yeah, you've totally gone over the deep end. Like, here's the thing is, okay, so let's backtrack. By the beginning of this season, Jack Bauer's been missing for, like, what is it, 4 years or something? Yeah. It's actually set in real time. So 4 years ago, but in some kind of crazy future. And basically, Jack Bauer is on the run from America and Russian forces because of the events of season 8, which basically he stormed a rush. What did he do? I can't even remember. He like
that's what it is. He stormed the Russian section inside of the UN, and he killed them. He killed a whole bunch of Russian bodyguards, and he split. Did he split the ambassador's throat?
I don't know. Here on Wikipedia, it says Jack wages a one-man war against the members of the Russian government who are responsible for the conspiracy after Alison Taylor refuses to do anything that could jeopardize the treaty. So it looks like there's the one that was set in New York City, and basically there's some assassination threats, a peace conference. And some stuff goes down, with the Russians. So at this point, season 8 shows him on the run. He's basically gone dark for like 4 years. Nobody's seen or heard from him. He hasn't been in touch with any of his family, which is basically like his daughter, which is like good because she was like the dumbest character on TV. And,
she got dumber and dumber.
Yeah, boy, did she ever. I feel bad for that actress because you know that people thought that, you know, associated her with the character. But so at this point, they like Jack Bauer just like shows up like out of nowhere, right? Like he's been dark for years and like he turns up in London, you know, during a time where the President of the United States is trying to convince the British government about some kind of agreement that has to do with American drones, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. And so the basic premise of the whole of this season becomes like, why is Jack Bauer in London? Why did he turn up? like at this, you know, why did he turn up at this time? Is he here to assassinate the president? Which a lot of people think, you know, they think that maybe he's getting revenge because his former love interest, Audrey, Kim Raver's character, is the daughter of the now American president, James Heller, right?
Yeah, and you know, why the hell is he in London? And why did he break out Chloe? What was the point of that? Am I just spacing this?
Or no, because the reason that he's in London was because he discovered the plot, that what was really happening. And I guess he figured that the only way to disarm that plot was not to warn anybody in the CIA or the FBI or CTU. Was to basically show up in the middle of London and start just fucking kicking ass like a mad pit bull.
Yeah, I think I remember thinking that. Like, why didn't he just kind of let people know what was going on and, you know, why?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean...
Yeah, all right.
No. So, I mean, basically, what ends up happening and what you end up finding out, you know, is that Jack is there to because he has found out some information about a terrorist cell that is trying to hack into America's drone network and is going to use those as weapons to, you know, basically bomb London unless the president of the United States hands himself over to them, you know, for assassination or beheading or whatever the fuck they're going to do to him, right?
Right. Which was an impressive gesture by President Heller.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. So, like, this is the thing. So, we're basically, like, okay, as far as, like, 24 plots go, okay, like I'm okay with it. I'm all right with it. You know, the whole, like, but, again, like, from the beginning, I'm like, why doesn't he just make an anonymous phone call to somebody? Like, I don't understand. Like that's the first thing. So, first of all, you've got Jack Bauer, and he's basically like, you know, kind of like Bourne or Bond. Like, he's showing up, and he's like, he's gone dark. And he basically contacts Chloe, who is a member of a hacker group. Now, was she arrested or something? She got arrested,
well,
I remember.
That was the first episode, right?
He
had been arrested taken into custody by the CIA, and then she was in their enhanced interrogation unit. And that's where Jack had to get her out of.
And so at first you think that what he's surfacing, okay, now we see. At first what he's surfacing for is to rescue Chloe. Like, right. You're thinking, oh, he's there to help his friend. But then what does it end up being?
You're saying that he was in London because he knew about the override device that was going to be able to take control of the drone infrastructure. But I guess you're right, but I just don't really recall that being the reason that he was breaking Chloe out. I thought that sort of came to light as events continued to unfold. It was that's just not so clear to me. But you know, that could be because I just wasn't paying deep enough attention, or I don't know.
Well, that's the thing is I think that that's what basically ended up happening. Like, he needed her because he's dark. He doesn't have like a network of people. You know, or like super hackers. You know, he's been.
I think I remember. Okay, no, you're right. He did know that this override device existed because the way that he's been making a living is he's been helping, basically the underworld operate and helping, you know, maybe broker arms deals and helping to, you know, conduct even terrorist activity.
He has not. Jack Bauer hasn't been doing that. I don't recall that at all.
At some point, he discloses that he's been involved in, maybe if it's not terrorist, but certainly criminal activity.
Shady stuff, for sure. But I don't think he's conducting terrorist activity. I don't think he's aiding or abetting any any terrorism stuff, because then that basically tosses the whole premise of him as the lone hero, like, out the window. I think he's just kind of been dark and maybe taking care of business on his own, kind of like, you know, well, you might not know this character, like the Punisher from, like, Marvel Comics, who, like, is basically a character who, you know, has machine guns and goes and takes care of criminals. Like, maybe Jack has been running his own, like, underground network, like, trying to solve terrorist problems, and that's why he's kind of come to this.
No, we know for certain. No, he's been involved in criminal activity. That's how he's been paying the bills. Like, the guy that he shows up with who assists in Chloe's escape is a known criminal and a known arms dealer or known international criminal, and he and Jack has been working for him, and that guy is wanted by the United States for all kinds of criminal activity. And I can't remember if it's Chloe who asks, you know, what are you doing with this guy, or how come this guy is here? And he says very specifically, I've been working with him.
Yeah,
and it's similar. It's similar to the way that Tony Almeida was paying the bills back after Michelle Desper was killed. Was she killed in season six? I think it was season six that she was killed.
I can't remember.
And then Tony basically sort of lost his mind and then you know, started drinking, and then he wound up actually getting involved with a criminal organization, and then Jack brought him back in, but Tony actually had gotten involved in criminal activity.
Okay, I'm just gonna say that you're right, because I can't I can't really think of, like, what I can't remember a point where somebody actually said, you know, what exactly he had been doing. But it's hard for me to believe that they would, you know, that they would allow, that they would have Jack Bauer be, like, a scumbag. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's crazy, but I don't think, like, they've basically turned him into, you know, like, a scumbag. I mean, do you think? I don't know.
I think you're right that he wasn't involved in terrorist activity, but I think that he, he's been involved in some shady stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up.
Because he hasn't been, like, pumping gas under like, an alias. There was the one time when he was on the lam, he was picking up side jobs. Remember after maybe season six or season five or something like that, and he was working at an oil rig, and he had an assumed identity, and he was staying in a small apartment complex, and basically had fallen in love with a woman who had a young child, and then they got embroiled with again, terrorist activity that only Jack was able to solve. But that was when he was just sort of trying to live his life. But now it's the shady guy that's been helping him that makes me certain that Jack's been involved in nefarious activities.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. You know, but either way, in the beginning of the season, he does show up to try and rescue Chloe. And you're thinking, yeah, like, oh, because looking at some of the information on the net, it seems like while he was dark, Chloe knew, like, where he was. Like, she was one of the very few people who was, like, kind of helping him out in his, you know, whatever, underground network.
Okay.
Who stayed in touch with him to a certain extent. But I don't think that that's true. That may be misinformation on the internet. You know,
I don't think it's true either. I don't think it's accurate. I think she was surprised to see him.
Yeah, me too. And she actually told him about the death of her family, you know,
right,
in the beginning of that episode when they first meet, you know.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that may be some misinformation that I just read. But anyway, so basically you think that he's there to get Chloe, who's been arrested because she's part of, like, a hacker group, right?
Right, exactly.
And basically, yeah, he needs to get Chloe out, but he needs Chloe because she's part of that hacker group, so they can discover this device that will help this terrorist cell, you know, basically take over any and all drones around the UK.
Right.
Or the whole network of drones that is controlled by the United States.
Sure.
Yeah. And so therein lies the big thing, is you come across, you know, the mom in Game of Thrones, the queen who got off, I can't remember her name. And so she's like this crazy terrorist woman who has a hard-on for the president because he basically ordered some drone strikes on him or on the village that they were in, and he died and she survived. And now she's basically on a mission to basically take out the United States or do whatever she can to take out this president because he's the one responsible for, you know, the death of her husband. At least that's the way she sees it. Yeah.
Right.
And so at that point, you know, you've got Jack Bauer shows up. Obviously, CTU gets involved. And, of course, what happens? They're like, holy shit, Jack Bauer's turned up. He's been dark for ages. And then you've kind of got, like, the romantic triangle where you've got the president and you've got Audrey, who is, like, his ex-girlfriend or somebody that Jack Bauer was involved with.
Yep.
And she's involved with the chief of staff who works for the dad. And then the other thing that gets revealed is that the president of the United States has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Right.
And the chief of staff doesn't necessarily have faith in his judgment or his capabilities.
Right.
Right. So at this point, it's like a big effing mess. Stuff is going down. The terrorist threat gets revealed to London. And at one point, which I thought was like the worst cliffhanger I think I've ever seen on this show or possibly on television ever, where the president has to go before Parliament, which an American president would never have the balls to do, never in a million years. And he has to like deliver a speech. And they leave the episode, like he walks in to give the speech, and people in Parliament or in the audience are just like yelling at him. And it's like, oh, dun, dun, dun. Like, is he going to be able to deliver this speech? You know, because he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And then, like, the very next episode, you know, because I had it saved up in my DVR, he just gives the speech and everything's fine. And it's like, what? Like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, it was the most anticlimactic thing. Like, he didn't come up with, like, any brilliant turn of phrase. He didn't speak like JFK or Obama and get up and like make this flowery, like amazing speech. He didn't like turn things around on Parliament and be like, what about you? He just basically like said like a lame ass paragraph of dialogue, and everyone in the audience was all of a sudden like, everyone in the audience was suddenly like, oh yeah, yeah, clap, clap, golf clap. Yes, that sounds good, Mr. President. Like, that was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And that's just, like, one thing in a long list of, like, crazy stuff that happened this season where I started thinking, like, maybe they should have done 24 episodes because they're doing, like, I think 12. They're doing
They definitely should have done 24 episodes. It's ridiculous.
Because usually, like, for a TV show, like, especially, like, British shows, I'm fine with, like, 10, 12 episodes, like, Mad Men, stuff like that, you know, because they're able to, they don't drag stuff out. But it seems like with this one, there was so much rush to sort of, like, get to certain points that they didn't seem to have enough time to let it breathe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah.
I don't know, maybe they didn't need to do a full 24, but maybe they just needed to do, like, you know, I don't know, 16, who knows, but all I'm saying is, like, I feel like a lot of this show, like, this season just seems to have, like, just gone apeshit bonkers with stuff. Like definitely, like, Jack Bauer has gone crazy. I mean, can you and I agree that Jack Bauer's gone nuts? Once, like, at one point, you're right, like, we talked a little bit about this, Jack Bauer has to get into, like, the presidential, like, retreat within, you know, wherever they are in the UK, and there's protesters outside.
Right.
They're protesting the use of drones, which we all should be, you know.
Right.
And to cause a panic to get inside, he starts, like, throwing people around. And then he literally shoot two innocent bystanders in the leg so that people will be like, ah, start screaming, and he can make his way through the crowd, through the panic, while the police are trying to deal with this, and fucking get into the presidential retreat. And I'm sitting there going, like, did Jack Bauer just shoot two people in the leg? And then later in the episode, or in an episode, like, somebody says, like, dude, you just shot two innocent people. He's like, I just grazed him. And I'm like, you didn't just graze him. You shot him. I saw, like, there was blood, and there was an explosion in the leg. Like, that wasn't a graze, dude. I don't know what you call a graze, but that's not a graze. You just shot two people in the leg. Like, that dude's going to have trouble walking.
Exactly. That guy is going to be permanently injured.
Yeah.
He blew out that guy's knee. The thing is,
totally.
You know, when I saw that, I was like, eh.
Oh, my God. Which means you are further down to crazy town than I am.
I definitely. I'm completely gone as far as Jack Bauer.
Like, you're like, it's so funny. You're like, in real life, you're like, oh, stop the drones, blah, blah, blah. But like, Jack Bauer shoots two innocent people in the legs, two fucking hippies who are just protesting, you know, against the use of drones, which could have been you, right, you know, in reality. And then, and you're like, yeah, Jack Bauer, you just got to do whatever you want. Ah, like, you know, that's
absolutely. Jack's got to get the job done. And I didn't even feel like that him shooting the protesters in the leg was even up to snuff for 24.
Oh my God, that's insane.
At that point, I felt like Jack had gotten soft.
Oh my God, you're crazy. You know what's funny too is that, like, okay, so you have the terrorist leader who's the wife of a former, you know, extremist or something. Well, obviously former because he's dead.
Right.
But you know, and her daughter's working with her,
right,
and then her daughter's husband,
yes,
is sort of like whatever. He's like a hacker, brilliant guy,
okay,
who's gonna,
yeah, exactly,
gonna help her crack the system that controls all the drones. So. Right. You know, like, as far as villains go, I was like, yeah, right on. Because, you know, she basically, you know, cuts her own daughter's finger off.
Yeah,
to get, yeah, yeah, yeah. To get her husband to hack the system that they need to get into the drone thing, the drone whatever.
Right.
And then she kills the husband when he, like, tries to escape. Like,
right?
She's like, no, F it. And then she has the gall, after cutting off her daughter's finger, to say, I love you, sweetheart. You know I love you. And I'm like, wow, okay. Like, this is one of the most wackadoo villains we've ever dealt with. Like, so like, okay, I'm with that. But then Jack is like, he's worse than her. He's like shooting innocent people in the legs. He's basically like a terrorist, you know?
I guess. You know.
Guess. You guess, as soon as, like, three people get shot in fucking Portland, Oregon or something, you're posting, like, the horrible thing about guns and blah, blah, blah. But Jack Bauer does it on a TV show, and you're like, that is acceptable. I find that. Bravo, Jack Bauer. Bravo.
I thought he let him off easy, you know? Cause, I mean, you gotta think, like, at least he didn't shoot them in the head. Or even shoot them in the chest or anything like that.
Oh,
and
my God.
I you know, it just, at that point, I was, I'm really questioning Jack's commitment to the.
You're crazy. You're insane. No, because, I mean, look, okay, so then let's get to the real thing that drove me nuts about this season. The real crazy, crazy thing that drove me nuts about this season. It's basically this terrorist woman's demands are that the president surrender himself to her so that she can execute him. Okay? Oh, no. Wait, I'm going to go back.
Let's definitely go back.
No, because there's the car chase scene between. So they've commandeered drones. They are blowing up. They blow up like a hospital where. Oh, yeah. The crazy terrorist woman. She tries to blow up the hospital where. Because her daughter eventually does escape, decide, like, oh, you know what, this is a little too heavy for me.
Right.
I've got to go, you know, after she gets her finger cut off, after her husband gets assassinated, you know.
After her mother had commanded her to sleep with some weird, like, programmer hacker guy, guy.
So they could get the device in the first place, yeah.
Exactly. So she prostituted her daughter. Then cut off her finger and then shot her husband in the head in front of her daughter.
Yeah. And then what's the thing that drives this daughter over the edge? She basically goes to her husband's sister and tries to warn her to get out of the country because she thinks her mother's gonna like try and kill her, and the sister-in-law is like, what have you done to my husband? And they fight, and she ends up shooting the sister-in-law
stabbing her,
and the daughter runs out into the street, and basically, like, that's the event that drives her over the edge, is, like, when she gets hit by a bus trying to save the daughter, save her niece, basically, and then ends up in the hospital. And still is like, no, I'm not going to give you any information. And it's only until the mother uses a fucking drone to blow up the hospital that she's like, you know what? Maybe I should think twice about this.
I should reconsider.
Yeah, I should reconsider. Like, really? Like, it's not enough that you know, that she killed your husband, that she prostituted you. Anyway, so, like, Jack Bauer gets this girl to, like, give her information. And at some point, does he have he doesn't have the president in the car. He does have the president in the car. Or, no, they have the device. Something. I'm so confused at this point. But they're trying to escape from the hospital. That gets blown up. And they are being chased by a drone. By a drone over the skies of Britain.
Of London, yeah.
Of London, a city that apparently has no traffic. That Jack Bauer is like zooming in and out. And she's shooting drone missiles which can blow up a city block. They've said this on the show. It's not even the reality of drones. We're talking about a drone whose one missile can blow up a fucking block, a city, a building, a hospital.
Right.
One or two missiles. And she's chasing the SUV through the streets, and they can't hit him?
Evidently.
They can't take him out.
No.
With freaking drone missiles that could take out a block. It's like they have to hit the SUV right on top. Like,
yeah.
The SUV is the only thing that a drone needs to nail right on the button. You need to hit the icon on the front of the SUV's grill in order to take out the SUV.
Yeah, well, being driven by Jack Bauer.
Talk about what a bunch of nonsense. And like that scene just made me like want to fall out of my chair. I was like, wow, I am watching something really stupid right now. This is like Michael Bay stupid. Like, we've really gone over the edge. And, you know, 24, they had a lot of, like, crazy stuff. Like, being able to get through crosstown traffic in L.A. in less than an hour.
Yeah.
That was just... Okay, so then, eventually, basically, time starts to run out. The terrorists are getting impatient. They're threatening that they're going to blow up London, you know, with whatever drones they have, and the President of the United States, basically proving that he has Alzheimer's and that it's crept in, has decided that he is going to hand himself over to the terrorists for execution.
Yes. Yes.
When I saw that, I was like, who writes this shit? Like, I was like, honestly, like, I said to myself, who writes this shit? Because there is no way. And they try to make an excuse. They try to make an excuse because the president is like, you know what? I'm going to sign a document and I'm going to hand over my presidency to the vice president. And that way I won't be a sitting president. I'll be just a regular guy who's handing himself over to terrorists. And at that point, I'm like, that is the most moronic, stupid, effing thing I've ever heard of in my life, that a U.S. president, sitting or not, if Jimmy Carter, if a terrorist from Iran said, give me Jimmy Carter's head, and Jimmy Carter turned himself over, or the U.S. government, do you know what that would do to United States morale. You like the president isn't even thinking outside of the box. Like, he's not even thinking about like wider foreign consequences. He's thinking about like, okay, London's going to get bombed, you know, and I'll be a hero, and you know, people will think well of me. He's not thinking of like the bigger picture. He's thinking like, yeah, they could take me out, and you know, it'll all be good. It's okay.
I think you make a really good point, and you know, but I guess like I think it's I can understand his decision making because
well, I can't too, but you're not the president.
No, but because the threat is so unique and so one off, it's not like every day a terrorist group has a piece of technology that can, you know, grab control of United States military drones and essentially wage aerial warfare over London. And, you know, and he recognizes that he has Alzheimer's and that, you know, it may be the last, you know, personal contribution that he can make to his country. And, you know, and he feels a tremendous amount of responsibility for what's going on. And maybe it's a reflection of the conflict of his character about the drone campaign itself. Because, I mean, he has always stated in the show that he knows that the drones are important. And but I think he sort of laments the fact that they're a necessary tool. And... So I kind of understand how he arrives at the decision that he does, because he can't bear the thought that this campaign and this weapon that he's there to support the use of is now being turned upon his allies. So I think he's reached a point of total desperation and collapse.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying, and obviously that's what the writers want us to think, but when you're talking about, we're not talking about civilians, we're not talking about a general, we're not talking about a military, we're talking about the commander-in-chief. We're talking about the leader of our country.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
And what that would do to morale in the United States, and that's the thing, is like he had a deadline. They were going to start blowing up the London with the drones, but at the same time, it's not like okay, it's kind of, I don't know if it's splitting hairs or whatever, but you know, you're talking about like they could have figured out how to get the drones back. It's
right.
Just could they have gotten the drones back before they started like raining death on London? Like,
right.
That's a whole other thing. But the thing is like, really, is the United States as a country going to, I mean, think about just what 9/11 did to our morale. Think
sure.
about what that did to us. Like an American president turning himself over to be, you know, whatever, like if they were, you know, they weren't going to behead him, they decided to try and blow him up with a drone, right?
Right, right.
But if you release that video on the internet and like what kind of domino effect for the world's like, well, sort of waning superpower,
yeah.
What would that set off?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
That's just insanity. I mean, we're talking about like a country that gets freaked out if you even try to negotiate for a fucking soldier in Iraq. What
right.
would happen to the United States, like the backbone of the military, the morale of the FBI, the CIA, the citizenry, if they saw an American president handing himself over to one small terrorist group to be blown up by a drone.
Yeah, that's
weapon.
True.
I mean, the repercussions of that are, like, insane. And it's
right.
insane for anyone to even... And I'm a liberal, like you. I'm like, you know, whatever, you should give your life, no war, blah, 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 you know. But that just seemed like, knowing the way things work in this world, that just seemed like an absolutely ridiculous turn of events in this show. And that's when, like, I think, like literally my eyes just rolled right to the back of my head. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me with this.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I understand that, but I suppose it's because I feel like the guy is saying, this is the point in my life where I'm at right now, and I don't see any other way. He's not consulting with anybody. Remember, that's he really really locks himself into his own failure. And I guess you know what you're saying is really true. And I think that it would be an epic failure of a president for him to surrender himself like that. You're absolutely right. And he is withdrawing from the presidency. He is doing that and resigning the presidency, and he knows that he's not fit to be president anymore, especially with the illness that he's been diagnosed with.
Yeah. I just saw that as, you know, very much like Hollywood fantasy bullshit. Like, that's when my bullshit alarm went off, and I was like, people were not thinking when they wrote this.
Right.
People were not thinking about the way the world works. They were not thinking about how foreign policy works. They are not thinking about, you know, anything like that. Like, honestly, I mean, I think, okay, there's a part of me that's like, okay, this character, they were obviously trying to build up this character's nobility.
Right.
But in the end, it comes off as stupidity to me.
Gotcha.
Because especially as somebody who follows like world events or pays attention to a certain extent, not as much as I would like to, but, you know, definitely pays attention probably more than your average American. I was like, no way.
Right.
No way this is happening. And then, you know, for them not to have the balls to actually spoiler, to go through with the death.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was like so cheap. I was like, really? Because eventually what you find out is that the terrorists, you know, they're blowing up the stadium, and what Jack Bauer did was like set the security cameras on a slight loop to make it look like he was standing in the field. But, you know, and that's the thing, is like, okay, we're obviously dealing with the dumbest terrorists in the world. They're smart enough to hack into a thing, but they're not smart enough to watch the president stand in a field on a video field for like before they decide to blow him up. Like that just like makes no sense. Like, I was just like, now we've just gone like further down the rabbit hole of stupidity here. You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, makes no sense. And that's the thing. It's like, look, 24 is not like a super intellectual show. It's an action show. There've been ridiculous things, but it just seemed to me like in these 10 hours that we've watched so far,
yes,
you know,
yes,
and we haven't even gotten to like the end, you know, where it just seems like the silly shortcuts in the writing are bigger and the flaws are larger. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think you're right. I think because they truncated the show that it's actually a problem. They should have made 24 episodes instead of 12, and you know, they're just selling everything short. Yeah, I'm not crazy about the all-timers thing with the president unto itself. And but one thing I was glad about is at least it brought Jack back to his full game, because when he finally got the terrorist and her son in the same room, he threw them out the window.
I know. I was definitely like, I was sitting there. Well, yeah, eventually they catch up to the terrorists, right?
Yeah.
And her name is Margot.
Margot.
All this time. He finally catches up to her.
Margot Al-Harazi, right?
Yeah, yeah. And basically, like, he kills the son. He throws him out the... But that was, like, a self-defense, right?
Right.
Like,
That was him infiltrating the room. So he gets to the window of the son, and he tricks son to lean out the window to see, hey, where's Jack? Is he out there? Jack grabs him by the shirt and throws him out the window, plunges to his death. And then he crashes into the window and finds Margot there, who's she's about to fire another drone missile into like a train station or something like that. And he's wrestling with her and he's fighting with her, and he finally subdues her, and he actually has full control over her, where he could easily have her
bring her
arrested
in
and fingerprinted and photo taken and brought to justice, But,
yeah, and she would get the death penalty.
But he decides, fuck that. I'm gonna toss this bitch out the window.
I was like, holy shit, he threw the bitch out the window. Like, I was like, that was crazy.
That was awesome.
And like, once again, it's like you said, like torturing the girl in the hospital with the hand. Like, I was like, yeah, he's gone nuts. Like, he's totally gone nuts. And that's why I think, like, at this point, like, Jack Bauer, like, there needs to be some serious, serious therapy going on. Because, like, he's basically, like, he could have turned her in. He could have brought her in front of the world and been like, yo, bitches, we caught the terrorists. We're going to do shit right. But no.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm Jack Bauer. I'm the motherfucker in charge. I'm going to throw her out the window. And because it makes me feel good. Like that. And that's what he did. He just threw her out the window. And I was like, that was crazy.
He didn't even blink.
Yeah, he didn't even blink. He was like, she says something like, oh, what are you going to do now? Or something like that.
Right.
He was like, he says something like this. And he just throws her out. And she's like, ah! And it's like splat. And I was like, damn. And you know, to a certain extent, it was like, that's the Jack Bauer I know.
Exactly.
You know, but Jack Bauer never went like, or it's not that he never went that crazy, but in the beginning of the series, like in the very, I never would have thought like, yeah, no, he's not gonna do crazy shit like that. Like, that's in the beginning of the show, he had a line that he wouldn't cross, and that line is just fucking gone. Like, he believed in the law. Like, he sort of believed in his organization. And I guess to a certain extent it makes sense because he's seen so much betrayal within his own organization, you know, that he can't trust anyone and he's suffered so much. But at this point it's kind of, there are points where I'm looking at Jack Bauer and I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't even know if I want to root for you anymore. You're crazy. like and that's why I think to a certain extent, the blonde, Kate. I think that they're almost setting her up to take over.
It seems like it, because she's pretty ruthless. But
yeah,
you know,
but she's really good too. Like she, I guess she was on Dexter for a long time. She's a British actress, and I don't remember her name right now. But she was on a show called Chuck, which I didn't really watch, which a lot of nerds watch, but I never watched it.
Who was she on Dexter?
She was Dexter's girlfriend, like, towards the end, the blonde.
Oh, okay, towards the end.
Yeah, who was, like, the serial killer, too.
Okay.
Yeah, who poisoned people.
Yeah.
She was really good on that show, despite the fact the way that show ended. But I think she's really good on this, and almost from the beginning I was like, because, you know, Jack Bauer's like, oh, I want to go with Kate. I want Kate to come with me, you know. And basically, like, I was like, are they setting her up to either get a spinoff or take over 24? Because, like, you know, part of the reason that this is only 12 episodes is, like, Kiefer Sutherland was probably like, look, I got enough money. I don't need to do 24 episodes. Like, that's a lot of work. You know what I mean? He's getting older. You know what I'm saying? And who knows if even Fox wanted to fund an expensive show like that.
Right.
So, but if you got somebody younger and somebody pretty to take over or get her own spinoff, like, that makes sense to me, you know? And she's also, at this point, you know, you've basically discovered, you know, this last episode that, you know, part of her whole subplot was that in the beginning of the season, very much like, you know, what Jack Bauer's gone through, she was getting kicked out of, you know, she was getting kicked out of the CIA.
Yep.
You know, at this point, it's not even CTU, it's the CIA, right?
Yeah.
At this point, because the CIA handles international operations, you know, she's basically...
And CTU, I guess at this point, it's been completely disbanded.
Probably.
I mean, I don't know. It was reassembled for Season 8 because it had been disbanded for Season 7, right?
Yeah. I think something like that happened. But in any case, you know, she's being kicked out of the CIA because it's revealed that her husband was selling secrets to the Chinese. But, you know, and so she's been disgraced. But, you know, through the turn of events and, you know, her brains and grits, you know, she manages to get back in the good graces because she's one of the few people that can outthink, like, Jack Bauer in this CIA station. So she ends up teaming up with Jack Bauer. And I remember from the beginning, I was like, oh, are they setting this woman up for a spinoff? And now I'm even further into the series. I'm starting to think that, like, that maybe she would just take over if they continue the series, which I think would kind of be like a fresh direction to take. Because as much as I like Jack Bauer and as much as I like Kiefer Sutherland, he's kind of get like at this point he's gone too crazy, and it's getting getting harder for me to root for him, and it's also getting harder to sort of justify his actions, and it's also getting a little tired too.
Not hard to justify Jack's actions.
Definitely.
Jack does what needs to be done.
Yeah, I know, right? That's your credo. Jack needs to get stuff done. But no, he's gone to crazy town. I think we're dealing with a man who's definitely gone to crazy town.
He's just gotten more efficient.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, you know, we're about 2 episodes left.
Yeah.
Where are you thinking this is going to go? Like, what's really funny
is... because spoiler alert, but they bring back Chang, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got to describe what Chang is.
Chang was head of security in the Chinese embassy in Los Angeles, and he has a personal vendetta against Jack. And everything American, basically. But then, for some reason that we don't know, he had been thrown out of the Chinese government and then has gone rogue.
Well, probably because of his failure with Jack Bauer, right?
They captured Jack Bauer.
That's right. And they were torturing him for a year
inside of a Chinese prison. But then there was a prisoner exchange that occurred. It was Audrey who would give herself over to in replacement for Jack, and they tortured her for some period of time. But for some reason they cast Chang out of the Chinese government, and he's gone rogue. So now he has somehow funded the development of this override device, which he now is securing for his own purposes. And holy shit. So basically, now this is a big deal. He now has orchestrated an attack by an American sub on a Chinese aircraft carrier and sank the Chinese aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
So basically, what he's trying to do is
start World War III.
World War III between America and China.
So now
your question is, where are we going? Basically, we are going. Jack is going to defuse World War III.
That's insane. No, but here's the thing. It's like we got it.
And he's going to do it in 2 hours.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Brady Bunch. Everything's resolved in a half an hour. But here's the thing. It's like we got to go back a little bit because basically in true 24 fashion, and this is what's always been great about 24, is like not this past episode, but episode 9, the episode before it, is when he captures the terrorists, throws them out the window, everything's resolved, and you're like, wait a minute, it's only hour 9.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're not done. So as a viewer, you're kind of like, something else is going to happen, which is kind of been the hallmark of 24. You think that there's like a really bad threat. Oh, shit. Like, somebody can take over the drones. That's bad news. But then what you end up finding out is that that same device can be used to just hack into any government's defense grid. Any government. Not just the United States. Any government.
Which is
just like, really? Okay. Okay, I'll go with that. Whatever. Right.
The most powerful device ever.
In the universe. Ever made. Exactly.
It's like the size of a toaster oven.
Yeah, yeah. And so this guy, Chang, basically ends up getting it, and he ends up forcing Chloe to hack into it for him.
Yes.
You know, and Chloe's going to try and disarm the device, and they're basically wise to her. They're like, you know, sorry, sweetheart. We just needed you to get through, like, the first firewall or whatever, you know. And what ends up happening is that Chang and his cronies basically get a U.S. nuclear sub to... Thank God they didn't launch a nuke, because I thought that's what was going to happen.
I thought it was going to happen, too.
And I was like, oh, snap. But he basically... Why didn't he just do that?
I don't know.
So basically gets a U.S. sub to fire on a Chinese aircraft carrier. And
hits it.
Sink it.
Actually hits it.
And we saw it hit.
We didn't see any
bullshit like, somebody, Chloe on the computer, or somebody like typing in keys frantically trying to like disarm the missiles and shoot them off course. No, they hit the cruiser. So if they start the next episode and they're like, well, it wasn't such a bad hit, the cruiser different, I'm going to be like, that is fucking bullshit. I'm done with this show.
Yeah, seriously. I don't think that's what's going to happen because it nailed the aircraft carrier. I think
it nailed it.
Nailed it. It like split it in half. That thing is
totally
fucking going to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
So
now you've got a situation where the Chinese are going to be like, yo, man, what the fuck? And the Americans are like, I didn't fucking do that.
I don't know.
We're like entering basically a fail-safe situation, which I don't know if you've ever read the book or watched the movie. Both excellent, by the way. Is basically a movie about United States accidentally nukes Moscow. And it's like, okay, now what happened? Excellent book. Yeah, excellent movie. So, excellent book. I've read the book. I've watched the movie. Excellent. And so now we've basically kind of entered that a little bit, which
Let me ask you this. Who does Jack torture Chang next?
Who does Jack... I mean, at this point, he's going to have to.
He's going to have to. Because he's going to have to torture Chang. What do you think he does to Chang? Call it now. What do you predict? Does he cut off a body part? Or does he burn him?
I think maybe he shoots him in the leg a couple of times.
Maybe a couple shots in the leg. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's going to be Kate who tortures Chang. Because if it's the setup now for Kate to take over 24 or something like that, or a spinoff, maybe now she steps in the breach and she's the one who has to extract the information from Chang, and maybe Jack dies. What do you think?
Well, I was thinking that too. I was thinking what maybe Jack Bauer will die, but I don't know, man. Like, it's too strong a brand.
Right.
And I don't think that Kiefer Sutherland would take himself out of the picture like that. I think he would want to leave the door open for movies
and come back. I think the 12 episodes is basically a teaser for the movie.
You think they're going to make a movie?
I think they have to.
What do you mean they have to? They don't have to do anything. How do you do a 24 movie? Like basically a movie that takes place in 24 hours?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to have to be like a Bond kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. And there's tons of those. Like part of the thing that makes 24 work up until this season, because it's like, every episode has been, you know, taking place like within the span of an hour, and the whole thing, I don't know, is it the span of an hour? Supposedly the whole thing is taking place in the span of like 24 hours or something like that, right? Yeah, 11 a.m., and it says on Wikipedia that the last episode will reach 11 a.m. So where was the jump in time? I guess I wasn't paying attention. 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. is 6 to 7 p.m., 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then it's going to be 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., and 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Where was the jump?
It's the nighttime through the morning to 11 a.m. That's going to be when they cut to, like, okay, so now we're in negotiations with the Chinese, and we're going to... you know, smooth this all out, and then
Jack Bauer is going to break into China.
Yeah, no, Jack, that's going to be in the General Assembly of the UN,
torturing people, smacking people in the hand with the butt of his gun. Dude, that was harsh. He tortured like the ex-CIA chief, and he was like, bah, 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 give me the information, and he got like no information.
Nothing.
Like it was the worst. Like that's the thing. It's like that was the worst. Like fucking like. like way of extracting information because he got nothing. And then they had to like basically go to plan B, which is like Kate like being like, I'm going to shoot you in the head. And Jack Bauer like, put the gun down and I'm going to shoot you in the head. And the stupid CIA chief being like, wait a minute. There's something wrong with this picture where like Jack Bauer is trying to stop her from shooting me. Like, wouldn't Jack Bauer, who basically smashed my hand up, like be like, shoot him. Go ahead. I don't care. Like, right. Sounds like a good idea. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know. This show is like, but still, you know, I gotta say, as stupid as this season is, I've had fun. Absolutely. I can't say that I haven't had fun watching it. And it's almost like a bad movie night for me. Because like before it used to be like kind of thrilling, you know, you would let some stupid stuff go. I mean, even in the first season they had that amnesia shit, like with his wife or something, which was just like really ridiculous.
That was annoying.
But you know, I mean, they kind of rebounded from that almost like right away. But this season is just has been so full of just like stupid action movie bullshit that I'm just like, come on, you know. I feel like this show, the writing was rushed and the production was rushed, and I feel like there wasn't enough thought put into like everything. You know, they could have dragged stuff out a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I'm a little bit disappointed, but I'm not going to lie. If they do another 24, I'll watch it.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
if they made 24 and they turned it into 48, I'd watch all 48 episodes.
Yeah, I know you would, but you're insane. I cannot believe you've watched like every season like three times. You have way more time on your hands than I do.
You got to make time for what's important.
All right. So what, any final thoughts before we like sign off?
You know, just I'm just excited to see what happens to Chang. See if Jack can, you know, raise the level and you know, see if we can get the job done, cuz we really are we're at a major juncture now in global affairs. The fact is that China and the United States are about to face off and drag us into World War III, and how is Jack going to stop that, and who's going to suffer in order to make it not happen?
Yeah. I mean, as long as they don't dwell too much on the Audrey stuff at this point, as long as like there's no like weepy BS anymore, you know, the last 2 hours have got to be like totally kick ass.
Yeah.
And as long as the resolution is not just completely the dumbest thing I've ever seen, which, you know, there's a couple of times during the season where I was like, dude, that was really stupid. But, you know, I remain a 24 fan. I mean, I'll bitch and complain, but, you know, this season has not made me, like, want to walk away from it or shut it off. My wife, Amy, does the eye roll all the time during the show. It's just like, really, Christian? Really? We're watching this? And I'm like, yes, we're watching Jack Bauer! You know, but at the end of the day, I gotta say, I've got a loyalty to the show, and, you know, whatever. We'll see. As long as, you know, I don't know, Jack isn't, like, riding a drone on a surfboard as a surfboard by the end of the season, I'm cool with it.
Absolutely.
All right, so this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. I want to thank my good friend, my brother, Barry Brewer, for coming on to this episode with me, the hardcore 24 fan. Although we kind of meandered around a little bit about the details of some seasons, we've been fans from the beginning, and you know, we just continue to enjoy watching the show. So my name's Christian Horn. I'm with Barry Brewer, and this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing. Oh yeah, doing part-time. Part-timefanboy.com.